There's a whole world of monsters out there, waiting to be discovered. Legends and lore that have been kept deep in the recesses of society. It's time that they've been given their just due and are brought out for all to know. My name is Michael Patrick, and you're listening to the Monsters and Friends podcast. Legends, lore, and monsters often have an interesting way of intersecting with each other. Every generation has their stories that become ingrained in their individual cultures, and in some cases, in the wider culture of a region or nation. Native Americans have spent generations telling stories of creatures and spirits that they've encountered through their journeys in life. Most believe that these are simply stories. Tales told to the younger generations to keep them from wandering too far from the village or not listening to their elders. There's a tale for everything from how the stars were made to what happens if you can't be a productive member of their society. Not all stories in this culture can be labeled as anecdotal, however. There are quite a few tales that appear as if they could have started in or are somehow rooted in reality. This week, we explore two different legends that have their roots set in Native American lore. These stories may just be more than tales handed down through the generations. The creatures in tonight's tales may live outside of the parchment and deer hide that they're drawn out on. Our travels take us from South Carolina due south. We're visiting a state that has one of the largest population densities in the nation, but like so many other places, has vast amounts of uninhabited wilderness. This week on the Monsters and Friends podcast, we're in Georgia. In northern Georgia, nestled between the towns of Atlanta and Athens, sits a town called Winder. Winder has been a part of the United States for well over 100 years. However, before the European settlers claimed the land, it was home to a native people, the Muscogee Creek Indians. Before Winder existed, the village of Snowden sat on the lands in present-day Barrow County. Snowden was a very important place within the Creek culture. It was at the center of trade between the Creek and Choctaw tribes. On the outskirts of Snowden, there was an area that was revered by the Creek people. They named this area Notorock, or the Gateway to Hell. The reason the Creek believed that this was the Gateway to Hell was because within Notorock, there was a volcano made of mud. A mud volcano is a small landform created when gas and organic material are caught beneath the Earth's surface. Over time, they are forced up through the surface and usually create a small cone that spews gas, mud, and organic slurry. The Notorock mud volcano would spew bluish smoke into the air as well as bubble and brew. The Creek believed this area was of great supernatural importance. The Creek built an altar of heavy stones besides their supposed gateway to hell. It was a place where criminals would be taken to be punished and executed. It was also somewhere that they would perform ritual sacrifices. They did this because they believed that something terrible guarded this earthen formation. They believed that it was the home of the Wog. The Wog is a creature described by many as being a demon dog. He is the protector of the Notorock, a satanic creature roaming outside the gates of hell. The Wog has long, straggly, jet black fur that covers its body. It's described as being about the size of a small horse. One unique feature of the Wog is that its legs are not the same length. The rear legs are about 12 inches shorter than the legs in front. As the Wog skulks around, it appears as if it has to carry one side forward at a time because of its massive size. The Wog is a large, very intimidating creature. It's been described in legends as appearing to be a large dog sitting on its tail due to its different sized legs. The Wog also knows how to make its presence known in a variety of ways. The first is by seeing its eyes. They're said to be blazing red, as if they reflect the fires of hell itself. The Wog also has a long tongue that, much like that of a lizard, is forked at the end. The prongs on the end stick out about 8 to 10 inches from its mouth and move like that of a snake. Perhaps the meanest part of the Wog is its head. Much like the rest of the creature, its head was very large and resembled that of a bear. The Wog has a set of large, white teeth that weren't able to be covered by its lips due to their size. One of the most notable features of the Wog, though, is its tail. The tail of the Wog is noted as being as long as the creature itself. The last 8 inches or so are made up of completely white hair. The tail of the Wog never stopped moving either. Unlike other dogs who would wag their tails due to happiness or excitement in a side-to-side motion, the Wog's tail would move with a quick upward curve. As the tail wagged up and came back down, it made a whizzing noise that could be heard 15 to 20 feet away. One person who had experienced the Wog also said that the tail was terrifying, as it marked the creature's location, letting you know if it was coming up on you, leading you to shake and tremble. Its tail is an interesting piece as well, because some say that the reason the tail moved in the way that it did was because it would stir up the slurry inside Notoroch to send criminals and sacrifices to the depths of hell. At some point in the 17th or 18th century, the Creeks sold the area around Snowdon to European settlers for a price of 14 pounds of beads, losing their claim to the land. There aren't too many written depictions of interactions with the Wog. There are legends and tales that were passed down through the Creek culture for generations, but many of those have been lost to history. Once the area became settled, more accounts have been documented and told via letters and stories. Many of those that first lived in the now-named Jug Tavern area around the turn of the 19th century had encounters with the Wog. The local Creek tribe told the white settlers that if they left the Wog alone, it would in turn leave them be as well. It may visit their cabins out of curiosity, but it wouldn't hurt anyone. There are reports of the Wog being seen skulking around caverns in Jug Tavern and poking its forked tongue between logs and under doors to see what was there. Perhaps the most well-documented encounter with the Wog happened in Snowdon sometime between 1793 and 1820. One of the earliest settlers to the area, Alonzo Draper, moved to Snowdon in 1793 along with his family. When they settled the area, it created some issues with the local Creek. The settlers, nor the Creek, had yet developed any trust for each other at this point. The settlers would stand guard and make sure that no one came into the area to create trouble. One night, Abe Trent, who was another settler, Alonzo, his wife and daughter Helen, were all out together while Alonzo and Trent were on watch. His daughter Helen had her dog Lion with her as well, as they stood guard as a family. They heard noises in the distance at one point in the fields around them. Lion woke up from his sleep, stood up, and started to growl into the darkness. Not too far outside of where they were, they saw a wolf come into the field. The wolf came into view, followed by another, and another. All of the wolves, as they came into the field, stopped, looked around, and then ran off back into the woods. Lion, however, didn't stop. He kept growling when in the distance they saw what they thought was a person carrying a white flag atop a black stick. It bounced and moved around in the tall grass as it got closer. All the while, Lion got more and more agitated. As the flag moved, they also heard what sounded like a whip cracking as it went back and forth. Eventually, it cleared out of the woods and came into view. Alonzo Draper was stunned and said in a quiet tone, "The good Lord, it's that infernal wog." The men wanted to try and shoot the creature, but remembered the warning given to them by the creek, saying to leave it be. The family retreated to their home and barricaded the doors and made sure that the guns were fully loaded. The wog turned up outside the house and made two rounds of it. It would stop to stick its tongue in between the logs, seeing if it could find anybody, appearing to want to impale anyone in the house. Eventually, the wog stopped. It made a whining noise and disappeared into the woods. There are a few other written accounts of the wog, but they are very few. The wog hasn't been seen since the early 1800s, when one day, the great mud volcano at Nodorok exploded. It sent a steam cloud high into the air and delivered mud to quite a great distance. Since that day, the wog hasn't been seen around Winder. However, there is still discussion about what this terrible beast may be. Some believe that it was no more than a legend. They believe the Drapers never experienced the wog and simply found themselves some sort of alpha wolf. Others believe that this may have been a hog or another creature that was simply malnourished and mistaken for the legendary creature. Then there are those that have described seeing the creature. They watched it as it devoured the bodies and souls of criminals and those sacrificed. No matter what the wog is, it is definitely a legendary creature that many will remember. The creek had the wog as a kind of guardian for Nodorok, but it's not the only creature that inhabits Georgia that had its first encounter with the Muscogee Creek tribe. In the eastern part of Georgia, the Creek Indians maintained villages near the Atlantic Ocean. The Creek were able to use the Ocmulgee and Oconee rivers in order to move about the region. They were able to use these rivers to make travel and trade much easier for the tribe. These rivers poured out into the Altamaha Sound and inevitably into the ocean. From the Native Americans to present-day boaters, this area has been used by many men and women. The men and women that ride above the waves aren't the only things that use this waterway for travel. In the mid-1500s, French explorer Jean Ribault and René Laudonnière made an attempt to colonize what is present-day northern Florida. They were also to document the flora and fauna amongst the region, so they brought along an artist named Jacques Lemoyne. His job was to show those back in France what the New World offered in hopes of securing more money for later expeditions. While they explored the Atlantic coast, they inevitably ended up drifting north and ended up along the modern Georgia coast and explored the waterways around the Altamaha Sound. Lemoyne ended up documenting some things that weren't in his usual style. Lemoyne was known for his realistic style and is credited with a lot of what we know about early Native American life in the New World due to that style. However, in some of his drawings, there were misshapen alligators and creatures that seemed more dragon or dinosaur-like. They were long like a snake and were missing key elements of what an alligator would look like. This leads many to believe that this is the earliest non-native sightings of a lake monster in southeastern Georgia. That lake monster is known as the Altamaha, or Alti to the locals. Throughout history, there have been a lot of creatures that are supposedly lurking beneath the waves of various bodies of water all over the world. Many of the sea and lake monsters share quite a bit in common, whether it be their shape, their size, or their color. The most widely accepted forms of these are either serpent-like or like that of a dinosaur, similar to the Loch Ness Monster. Altamaha, however, sits in a class all by itself. There have been many different sightings of Alti throughout the years, and there is some small variety of those sightings, but most of them share the same characteristics. Alti is described as being 20 feet long. Its body is shaped remarkably like a sturgeon, with it having flippers along the front of the creature's body, but no appendages towards its rear. It does have a tail that is situated horizontally, and Alti is described as swimming similarly to a dolphin. Alti's head is also just a tad bit different than the likes of Nessie or Champ. The face of Alti is shaped more like that of an alligator, as opposed to that of a sea lion or shaped like a dog. As far as coloring, Altamahaha is said to have gunmetal grayish coloring, while its underbelly is a whitish yellow color. Along its back, Alti has a bony ridge that has been described as being like tire tread. He's also been described as green in some accounts, so there's the question if Alti can either camouflage himself or if it has evolved over time. Sightings of the Altamahaha have been plentiful since as far back as the French explorers that may have first sighted the creature. One of the latest sightings happened in 2002 by the captain of a towboat. In his claim, he plainly states that he was not under any influence and guarantees that he was clear-headed. This is for the best, as his account is quite a fantastic one. He said that as he was towing a sailboat, he noticed something breach the surface of the Altamaha River about 15 feet ahead of where he was. He watched the creature as it slid along the surface, wondering when the long, thin body would end. He compared it to how a dolphin would breach the surface to take in air, but made sure to note it was much longer than a dolphin could be. The captain guessed where it may come up again for another breath and watched that area. Shortly after it disappeared in front of the boat, it came up right in the vicinity he was looking. He watched the creature and noted that it was about 6 to 7 feet in circumference and was black or dark gray in color. The creature didn't seem very concerned with the boat within close proximity, as it just lazily continued its journey through the river. The part of the creature that he saw looked very similar to that of a large snake. He theorizes that he just saw Alti's neck and back, which wasn't smooth, but had a hump upon his back that was rough looking, much like that of a tire. Another account of Alti comes from much earlier than 2002, when two men fishing saw the creature presumably stuck along the bank of a channel off of the Altamaha River. They sat and watched the creature flail and violently whip around trying to free itself. They said the creature was 20 to 30 feet long, and like the other sighting, its back was covered in what they called warts. The creature would take a break from time to time, and as the men decided it was time to leave, it inevitably freed itself upon their departure. They said had they not seen the creature, that they'd have no idea that it was there, as it simply slinked off back into the river without a sound. There are always many possible explanations as to what these creatures might be. In regards to Alti, many skeptics believe that he's simply a dolphin or manatee that lives in the local waterways. He has a lot of similar characteristics to these creatures, which makes it a plausible explanation. However, many others feel that this area is the perfect home for an aquatic creature or many aquatic creatures. It's said that the odds of Loch Ness, or in this case, Alti, could never have survived from the Mesozoic era, which would be the most likely origination for the creatures described. They suggest that there'd have to be a host of these creatures for them to survive and live on through extinction events in just time. Alti is a fantastic example of the potential for that in itself to be a reality. The Altamaha River is close in proximity to the Atlantic Ocean, as well as numerous other waterways throughout the region. It provides a place for a creature to escape from an area and potentially grow its population and continue to thrive. Some believe that the Altamaha simply uses this river much like a salmon uses a river in their life cycle. They swim up to the rice fields and hatch and grow in those before returning to the sound and eventually the ocean. Nobody knows for certain what Alti is, or if Alti even exists at all. It's a very intriguing story that again shows there's potential for Native American legends and lore to be birthed within some sense of reality. The reality of this moment, however, is that it's time to end our adventures through the Peach State and move on to our next state. That doesn't mean the conversation will be ending, though. Make sure to visit our website at www.monstersandfriends.com to read some entries in the blog that will have some descriptions of encounters with Alti, as well as the full transcript of the Draper's encounter with the Wog. Also make sure to follow us on Twitter at MNFPod and on Instagram at MonstersandFriends to get more information about other legends and monsters that call Georgia home. The Monsters and Friends podcast also wants to remind you to make sure you look into the Straight Up Strange podcasting network. We are a member of their network family, and they're home to some amazing other podcasts. Whether you're looking for true crime, stories of other cryptids, some history, or want to learn about the paranormal world, there's something for you at the Straight Up Strange stable of podcasts. Head to the new and improved StraightUpStrange.com or follow us on Twitter at Strange Podcasts. And as always, please continue to be amazing and provide your support for this podcast. It's a labor of love that I enjoy making week in and week out. There's a lot of great things on the horizon, so please make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you get them from. Subscribing and downloading helps the pod to continue to climb the charts and become more known so that I can spread the good word of the cryptids, legends, and lore of the world that needs some more love. Finally, I just want to say thank you to all of my listeners and those that continue to support the podcast. This is something that wouldn't exist without you all. And with all that being said, it's time to say goodbye. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll chat again real soon.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.